You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching a series on healing, individual healings in the Bible. And a couple weeks ago we talked about Bartimaeus and just took some individual cases where we have interaction between these people and Jesus, what they said, what he said, what they did, what Jesus did. And there's a lot of details, and I think that's significant. It speaks volumes to us. These are real people. These aren't just Bible stories. They're here for a purpose. They're in there, and the details in there, and the dialogues in there, and the interactions in there, so that you can know how to address Jesus, how to approach Jesus, how to get your healing, get your miracle. There are many individual cases in the Bible of healing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Jesus' ministry, and that alone would prove that's his will. It's interesting that you never see Jesus coming up to someone and making them sick. Coming up to someone that's healed and taking their healing away. Coming up to someone that is doing well and making them worse. You know, it's always, he is a need meter, a healer, a blesser, and a giver to the poor. And that's what we see in context. Now, we can strategize and philosophize and theorize and talk about all the reasons for, you know, pain and suffering and so on and so forth. But if you're just going to read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, follow Jesus, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, that's the scripture I'm quoting. For God was with him. And so we know that better than we think we do, actually. You know, we spend a lot of money on getting people well. We put people in jail for trying to make people sick. Are you with me? In fact, we don't honor those that go around hurting others. We honor and give rewards and praise people that give their lives to help others and to lift others and heal others. And this is this picture you get of God in Jesus. You see a good God. You see a loving God. A holy God, yes. But you see him go around doing good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, or your iPads, or your electronic device, or whatever it is that you're reading along with me, turn with me to Mark, the second chapter. We're going to look at this instance of healing, the healing of a man that was sick of the palsy. 2 weeks ago, we took Bartimaeus out in particular and went through the text scripture by scripture. And then last week we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, Mark the 5th chapter. And these instances are repeated in other gospels. I mean, they're not just in this one place. So I think it's very insightful. You're going to learn something. This is going to help you today. Everybody say, this will help me.
This will help me.
All right, it'll help you get healed. It'll help you get a miracle. It'll help you get an answer to your prayers. Hallelujah. And Mark, the 2nd chapter, I'm reading out of New King James Version. First verse says, and again he entered in Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Woohoo! I think, you know, we ought to tell everybody that he's in the house. Amen, that he's in the church, that the church is more than just a gathering place. It's where the presence of God is. And King James, I think, says noised that he was in the house. You know, it was heard. That's a common theme that you see in these miracles that took place. Somebody heard something. Bartimaeus, he heard something. In the 10th chapter, he heard Jesus was coming down the road. The woman with the issue of blood heard that Jesus was in town. She'd been to many physicians, spent all that she had. It was none the better, rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she heard. That's important. Paramount that we get a hold of that. You're going to have to hear something if you're going to get healed. You're going to have to hear about healing. You're going to have to hear about this healer. You're going to have to hear about God. If you hadn't heard, you can't step out on what you hadn't heard. No more you can come back where you hadn't been. Are you out there? But it says it was heard, you know, it was heard that he was in the house. Well, now, think about that. I just want to chew on this. It's okay if I just take my time. If it says it was heard that he was in the house, then how was it heard? People must have been telling people. You know, people must have been talking about it. Jesus is in town. Jesus is over at this house. And I think it's significant, too, that they must have heard something more specific than just him being at the house, or they wouldn't have brought sick people to him. They must have heard Jesus is healing people. Wow, that's important. I think we need to get a hold of that. That we do need to talk about Jesus and tell people that Jesus is in the house. But also that Jesus, you ought to come bring you sick and get healed. Bring you, if you have needs, we heard a couple of words here this morning already. If you have needs, he's a need-meeting Jesus. You know, if you're hungry, he'll satisfy the hungry soul. He will. If you have any kind of situation or issue, well, he gets rid of issues. That woman with the issue of blood didn't have any issues anymore. You got, well, all kinds of issues, but, you know, God can get rid of issues. He's a need-meeting Jesus. So it was heard, just like Bartimaeus had to hear, just like that woman with the issue of blood had to hear, just like you and I have to hear before we can be healed. We have to hear that he is a healing Jesus and that he'll heal us. The news spread quickly. That's what the New Living Translation says. I like that. The ESV version says it was reported. Good point. What do we report? What are we reporting about the Lord? What kind of news are we spreading? Well, that's, you open up a can of worms there. How many types of news are being spread around the world today? You can name different news services. They're known for certain types of news: conservative news, liberal news, gossip news, or whatever kind of news. You know, what kind of news are we spreading about Jesus? That'd be a good question to ask as we're going through this. Well, it ought to be the news about the healer, the news about the life giver, the news about the forgiver, the news about a new hope and a new future and a new destiny that comes through Jesus. The second verse says, immediately many were gathered together. Many were gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Many gathered together. You know, there's often a lot of people around church, around Jesus. This is a common issue or problem, even with Bartimaeus and with the woman with the issue of blood. They had to deal with the crowd. They had to have a little crowd control. The crowd tried to keep Bartimaeus quiet. The crowd is what the woman with the issue of blood had to press through to get to Jesus. Here, this place is so packed, you can't even get inside the house. So this man sick of the palsy had to deal with this crowd. That could be a crowd of people. It could be a crowd of tradition. It could be a crowd of thoughts in your head saying you can't get to him. But you're going to have to deal with the crowd. If you want your miracle, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to overcome the crowd. Bartimaeus would not be quiet when they told him to. The woman would not be denied and came through the press. And you'll find these men here took the roof off to get to Jesus. You know, sometimes it'd be a crowd of status quo or political correctness that says, no, you can't have that. You can't do that. You can't. Jesus doesn't heal. You can't get your miracle. He doesn't care about you. It'd be a crowd of all kinds of things surrounding Jesus, tradition that surrounds him, sometimes wrong teaching that surrounds Jesus, wrong people that love God. They're followers of Jesus, but they actually keep people from Jesus. That's sad, but it does happen. Even the disciples tried to keep Bartimaeus quiet. His own disciples. Now, they're good men, don't get me wrong. They had great intentions because they were trying to protect Jesus. Sometimes we do the same thing. We try to protect him from people that need to get to him. Are you out there? But we gotta overcome that, see? We gotta overcome what crowds out Jesus. Scribes had that problem later on, and we'll see that in this story here, in this account. They let their tradition crowd out their faith and crowd out their acceptance and receiving of what Jesus had to offer. And sometimes we got our ideals about Jesus, but there's so many of them, they're crowded in our heads, we can't, there's no room to get healed. There's no room in our mind for healing. We've got too many other thoughts, too many other ideas crowding out the healing, you know, that he has for us. We've got to get through the crowd and get to Jesus. We've got to get through the tradition. We've got to get through all the stuff that stops us, you know, from getting to him. You know, it says he preached the word to them. I love that. That's what Jesus did. He just preached the word. Now, you know, a good question would be, what kind of word did he preach? Well, honestly, he preached healing because that's what they responded with. They came, brought people that were sick to be healed. So part of that word that he preached was forgiveness. Yes, we know that he's the Messiah. Yes, okay. God's good, loves him for him, no question, but he also must have preached healing because that's what was noise. That's what was the noise, the news that was spread. That was what people understood because they kept coming to him with people that were sick. They kept coming to get their miracle. So when it just says generally he preached the word, you know, well, we can just say I preached the word, but, you know, you have to identify that. What book is that? What chapter? What verse is that? When you say you preached the word, what are you preaching? You know, well, obviously from the results, In the context, we see that Jesus must have preached healing, because they continually came to him for that. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, you know. In fact, he very, very strong charge. He said, I charge you before God and before the angels and before Jesus Christ and his appearing, who shall judge the quick and the dead, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, for the time will come. Well, they will not hear sound doctrine. Well, you know, we have an obligation to preach the Bible right off the pages of the Bible. Just preach what the Bible says, what Jesus said, what Jesus did. This is not about International Outreach Church. This is not about Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and Charismatic. And God bless these churches. Thank God, we're pro-church. But it's about Jesus. He is whom we preach. His word is what we declare, the message that we bring. Hallelujah. And it says, third verse, they came to him bringing a paralytic, man sick of the palsy, who was carried by four men. I love that. Here, and this is something that's real common, you see, all through the scripture when you're looking at individual miracles. We see people coming to Jesus for a miracle. It does not say that Jesus came to them. Now, Jesus came to the town, and Jesus is available, and Jesus' arms are open. But you know what the great clarion call is? You know what Jesus is saying? Come unto me. Come unto me. All you that are labored and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Matthew 11 tells us that, 28th verse. So, you know, often we're waiting around sometimes for a move of God, and yet God's waiting for us to come to him. Amen. To come to him. And even bring others with us. I love that. So in miracles, in individual miracles that in the Bible, many times you see this over and over, it's a common thing. You see a human element involved. You don't just see the power of God present. You don't just see the movement of God. You see a movement of people toward Jesus. I mean, you just think about what we've taught on the last couple of weeks, blind Bartimaeus. He cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me, on the side of the road. They tried to keep him quiet. It says he cried out the louder all the more. And then finally Jesus said, bring him over here, you know. This woman with the issue of blood came in the press and touched the hem of his garment. She came in the press, through the crowd, grabbed his garment, and Jesus wasn't even looking at her. He was looking the other way. She came behind and grabbed it. And the Bible says, immediately virtue of power came out of him, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And Jesus turned and said, who touched me? Wow. So do you see Jesus going after that woman? No, the woman went after him. Isn't that right? Now, let's don't take God out of the equation. I understand we'd be nothing without him. He is available. He's calling us. But he's waiting on us. Waiting on us to come. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door be open unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone that knocketh, the door will be opened unto them. You say, well, God, I thought God just show up. Well, he did. He showed up 2,000 years ago, okay? He came already. He already made his move. Now it's your move. He didn't say, y'all just stay outside, I'll come out there in a minute. No, he said, you knock on the door, I'll open. Out there. I'm not, you know, we just need to put it in context. That's what it is. Jesus said that. And so if we call, he'll answer. If we knock, he'll open the door. If we seek, we'll find him. If we hunger, we'll be filled. Amen. Well, here they were. They didn't just give up. They didn't say, man, there's a big crowd around that place. Maybe he'll be here tomorrow. Let's come back tomorrow. No, they didn't. They came to him. And they brought somebody with them. I think this is so significant. Not only did they come, but they brought someone in need with them. It could have been a friend or a brother or a relative. I mean, you don't know who he was. There's no names given here. We don't even know who these four guys were. You know, Terry Mize came through and preached a message. Who are they? And he just went through different scriptures. It says, well, they brought someone or they came to Jesus. And we don't know who they were. But there's always a they out there somewhere. There's always somebody I don't care who you are. I don't care who got a miracle and how many praise reports we hear about. There was a they involved that told that person, told you and told me about Jesus. Somebody brought me. Somebody told me. Somebody preached to me. Are you with me? Somebody shared with me. And we don't know who they are, but they are out there. Okay? I want to be them. Don't you want to be them? I want to be them. Well, they loved this man so much, they cared so much for this man, that they brought him to Jesus. I think that's so significant. These four men were dedicated to helping their friend or relative or whatever the relation was. And they were there to encourage and to assist and to bring him to Jesus. We need friends like this. You know, sometimes it takes more than one person to get somebody to Jesus. Might take several of us, I don't know. Might take a lot of us praying. Might take a lot of us carrying him. A lot of us laying hands on him, as it were. A lot of us agreeing with him and helping him and encouraging him and so on and so forth. But that's what church is about. That's we begin to pool our resources. What you couldn't do by yourself, now you've got other people helping you. And you got other people helping you get other people. Isn't that good? So it might take more than one brother to get a brother to Jesus. It might take four of them. But that's okay. That's what it takes. If we're dedicated and we're good brothers and we're good friends, we'll do that. Good friends always bring people to Jesus. Good people, good friends always get you to serve God and help you serve God, help you get right, help you get healing, help you get forgiven, help you get over your sin. Those kind of friends you need. You need to ask yourself that question, what kind of friends do you have? Do you have friends that will take you to Jesus? I mean, do you have friends that will pray with you? Do you have friends that will agree with you? Do you have friends that will not be denied, they will not quit, even if there's a crowd around it, Jesus, they'll take the roof off if they have to. They love you so much, they care about you so much, they want to at all costs get you to the Lord, get you to Him, and get your miracle. That's the kind of friends we need, amen? That's the kind of daddy I want to be. Kind of parent I want to be. Kind of brother I want to be. It says in the fourth verse, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd. Now think about that. They couldn't get to him. I mean, in the natural, just wasn't going to happen. They didn't get discouraged. They didn't give up. That's what's so good. The first obstacle or roadblock. I mean, you have great intentions, and then here's this big roadblock. Can't get to Jesus. Well, that's a lie. You can get to Jesus. See, don't buy the lie. Don't do that. Well, I tried and it didn't work. Or I prayed and nothing happened. Or, you know, like Mary Beth talked about, for 3 years, people were helping her. Thank God. Thank God for not giving up, for tenacity, for friends that continue to help and bless and heal and help others. We're supposed to help each other. See, that's what we're supposed to do. You're not alone. That's the good news. And if you got good friends, godly friends like these kind of guys, you get to Jesus, hallelujah. And it may not be overnight, but don't give up. Don't you stop. Don't you quit. Don't you stop at the first obstacle. They didn't. When they couldn't get in, they just climbed up on a roof. They believed he was reachable. They believed they could get their miracle. You have to have this kind of faith. You have to have this kind of tenacity that God's word is true. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what 1,000 say. It doesn't matter about the crowd of thoughts and arguments and logic and reasoning that says it can't be. All that matters is Jesus is still standing there in the midst. He's still there and he's still a healer and he still is who he is. And he's still waiting on you and me. Don't you quit. Don't you stop. Don't you back up. You keep going. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Fifth verse says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, you know, I think it's interesting too here that he saw their faith, their actions. You know, faith can be seen. And we talk about what faith is. Faith based on a word. Obviously, you hear the word, and you believe the word, and you confess the word. 2 Corinthians 13 says, we all have, there's that thing again. We're going to start that all over. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we all have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, see, that's pretty simple. The spirit of faith is written, it's believed, it's spoken. Amen? And we understand that's the basics of faith, and it's acted on, obviously. And here, Jesus saw their faith. What he saw was their actions. He saw what they did. You know, they lined up their actions with what they were believing. They were determined to get to Jesus. That's faith. Faith is getting to Jesus. That's what faith is. And so it can be seen, and it's seen through what we do. You know, James 2:18 says that someone may say, you have faith and I have works. You show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, so, in other words, I'm living for God. I actually believe what I'm saying. You know, oh, I believe in Jesus, but then they don't live for God. Well, I mean, I can show you by my actions I believe in Jesus. Amen? And we should, our lives should show our faith. And in this case, faith for a miracle was determination. It was passion. It was tenacity. It was not being denied. It was continually pursuing Jesus at all costs. Amen. Never giving up. Never stopping. Even when the obstacles came up. Even when everything said no, they said yes. For all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? Well, you know, when he said this, I think it's interesting too. He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Well, that didn't set well with the religious crowd because they didn't know who Jesus was. And, you know, the scribes, it says in the 6th, 7th verse, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God only? See, the problem with the scribes was the crowd of thoughts in their head and arguments in their head and theology in their head that did not recognize what Jesus said. And sometimes we can have such a crowd of tradition in our head, wrong teaching in our head, that it crowds out Jesus, and we don't put the authority and we don't put our trust and our faith in what Jesus said because we can't see him. He's surrounded by a crowd of wrong theology. He's surrounded by a crowd of arguments that say why you can't be healed and why he's not Lord and why he's not a healer and why he doesn't do that today. And you got to get through the crowd. You got to deal with the crowd. The crowd of stuff we hear, it's all around Jesus. I mean, it's around Jesus today even. Crowds of teachings and things. And here's Jesus standing in the midst, and he's still a healer. Yet he's crowded out, you know. He's just crowded out. And then we start reasoning, we start thinking, oh, boy, stop that. You get in trouble when you start doing that. When you start reasoning outside of the Bible. When you start trying to make sense outside of the Bible. Well, maybe God's doing this. Whoa. Well, maybe God is, maybe nothing. What does God say? What does he say? What does he say? What's he doing in the Bible? See, they didn't know who Jesus was or the authority that he had. He was, of course, God, and he had the authority to forgive sins. And he'll do so for anyone that comes to him. Anyone that comes to him in faith. And when you begin to question what Jesus plainly says, you're going down the wrong road, pure and simple. Never put a question mark where God puts a period. They weren't doing too well. These scribes were fighting the crowd. They hadn't made it to the roof yet. They were still in the crowd. Amen. I think it's interesting, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the Phillips translation, says, our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That crowd of thoughts, you've got to captivate them. See? And make your thoughts accept and acknowledge and bow their knee to the authority of Christ. My thoughts are subject to what Jesus said. And I've got to bring them into captivity. Or they'll run rampant and wild and they'll keep me from God. And they'll keep me from a miracle. They'll keep me from my answered prayer. Amen. Notice what Jesus said in the 8th verse. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Did you know there's a big difference between reasoning and perceiving? Perceiving is actually the Greek word for to know something. To perceive is to know something. This reasoning means you don't know. Okay, you still haven't got to where you know yet. You're still reasoning. There's still doubt. But to know something, there's no doubt. Jesus knew what they were still reasoning about. Jesus knows what we're still in doubt about. Now, if we choose to trust Jesus, we can go from reasoning to knowing. Amen? And quit trying to reason among ourselves and just know what Jesus knows. If Jesus says he knows it, he knows it. Well, you get in trouble is when you try to reason that out among yourselves. No, he said it, that's it, that's all you need to know. He already put a period there, you don't need to put a question mark. See, Jesus knows, we're still reasoning. But faith is not reasoning, faith is knowing. It's an acceptance of faith, a trust of what God says. If God says it, we believe it. Big difference between those two. You still haven't figured it out yet if you're reasoning. You're still in doubt and you don't believe yet. So he said to them, why do you reason these things in your hearts? Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Oh, now I know it says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but why don't we sit around and talk about this? Why? What's there to talk about? Well, I know it says I'm the Lord that healeth thee, but see, we need to have a little committee talk about this. Why? What is there to talk about? It says he heals all your diseases and forgives all your iniquities. You know, you ever have somebody come down front to be saved? Just think about it. And we say God forgives all sins. He forgives all sins. No question. He forgives all your iniquities. Heals all your diseases. And we say, what sin have you committed? First of all, we never even ask that. Because it really doesn't matter, does it? And then we never gauge those sins and say, well, yeah, you know, but in your case, maybe. I know it says he forgives sins, and I know that, and it says that. But in your case, he may not really want to forgive you. You may be a special case here, and it could be that God doesn't really, right now, he doesn't want to forgive you right now. You ever heard that in any church? I never heard that in any church. Oh, well, yeah, but your sin, see, I know he forgives sin. I know what it says. Okay, oh, we know what the Bible says. We know that. But let's think about this, okay? Let's think about this a minute. See, your sin, now, I don't think we could really say that God would forgive that sin. I think probably in your case that, for whatever reason, because he's wiser than we are, and he knows more than we do, and you know, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his wonders to perform, moves in mysterious ways. I know it says he'll forgive you, but really, he won't. Who would ever say that? I mean, who would ever say that on an invitation or ministering to someone that wants to be forgiven? We'd say, no, the Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's just and faithful to forgive your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, right there, says it. That's what the Bible says. It says he forgives all of our iniquities, all of our sins. Jesus said, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. And God forgives sins, kind of. No, he forgives sins, period. Isn't that right? Well, now, where do we make this shift? I don't understand the shift where it says he heals all your diseases. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And everybody that came to Jesus got healed. Everybody that came to Jesus got healed. Where do we make this shift? Well, I understand that, but see, you got to understand. No, I don't know what I have to understand. It says he healed them. It just says he heals. He's a healer. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. By stripes, we're healed. If we're going to question that, we're going to have to question forgiveness, and you and I are in doubt right now as to whether we'd be forgiven. We don't really know for sure if that's the case, if we can't take his word for it. If we let any other reasoning get in, any other thoughts or arguments get in, that would deny this truth, deny what Jesus says plainly and does plainly. Wow, Pretty strong stuff, amen. Well, I'm making you think. That's good, amen. Is it helping you? Now, notice what Jesus said in response to that when he said, "Why reason you among yourselves?" And they said, "Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Well, first of all, he's God. He can forgive sins. They just didn't know that. And he said, perceiving the spirit, they so reasoned among themselves. He said, "Why reason these things in your hearts?" He said, "Whether it's easier," ninth verse, "which is easier to say to the paralytic, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk?" Do you think one is just as easy as the other to God? Yes, it is. Do you think it's harder for God to heal than it is to him forgive? No, it's not. In fact, God does one just as quick as he does the other. And do you think it's easier to say I'm forgiven or easier to say I am healed? I would beg to differ that most Christians would say it's harder to say I am healed than it is to say I am forgiven. And yet it should not be. Hello? You know, they'll say, "Well, I don't feel that great either, but I am healed. I don't always feel forgiven. I don't know exactly what that feels like. Sometimes I feel like 500 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick. But I am forgiven. That's what the Bible says. I've confessed my sin. The devil reminds me of sin, brings it back. See, that's what the devil does. He reminds you of your sin. And God reminds you, you're forgiven. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. It's just who you're going to listen to. You can listen to those thoughts in your head, those crowds that crowds out Jesus. You know, the pain in your body or, you know, the doctor's report or whatever. And thank God for doctors. I mean, I'm for doctors. They're trying to help us. I mean, they kept us alive and we're for that. I go to doctor too. I pray and believe God those procedures work and everything they do works. I pray for you, and you know, but if they don't work, God heals. It doesn't matter whether they work or don't work. We are healed in Jesus' name. We are the healed of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. I'm forgiven. I'm not changing my story. I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let the weak say I'm strong is what Joel 3:10 says. So he says, which is easier to say? See, here's the hang-up. Isn't that the hang-up, really? We just won't say it. We hesitate to let it come out of our mouth. We won't confess it. We won't pray it. We won't believe it. We feel kind of weird because people think we're kind of weird. We go with the status quo and what's politically correct and what the peer pressure of the crowd says. See, we're still not handling the crowd. We care about what our neighbor says more than what Jesus says. We care about what our friends say instead of what Jesus says. We care. Y'all out there? They're going to think we're crazy. They're going to say we're silly. Oh, really? Oh, you care about that? You care? You'd rather them like you than God? Okay. I'm getting a little mean here. Okay. Excuse me if I'm getting a little edgy. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic. I mean, right there, said. Said, and then in the 11th verse, I say to you. Man, a lot about confession here, isn't it? A lot about what you say here. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what Bartimaeus said. Jesus said, what do you want me to do that I might receive my sight? That's what he said. The woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. There's a lot to do with what you say. If you want your miracle, you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to speak right, talk right. You need to talk healing. You need to learn the language of faith. Amen. See, we won't say it, and that's why we can't get it. That's why it won't happen, because we won't say it. Jesus said, it's just easy to say, be forgiven. It is to say, be healed. I like this. He said, that you may know the Son of Man. I love that. See, that's Jesus' pet title of himself. He called himself Son of Man more than anything else in the Bible. 32 times in Matthew and 15 times in Mark, 26 times in Luke, 12 times in John. He called himself the Son of Man, thus identifying himself as the man, the holy, sinless man. Now, he was God, no question he was the Son of God, but he also was the last Adam. Adam took us into sin. Jesus took us out of sin. In Adam all die, and Christ all made alive. By man came death. By man came the resurrection. This man, Jesus, the man, the holy, sinless man, God in the flesh, the God-man. And as a man, he had authority in the earth to forgive that man's sin. He did what he did by the authority. He said that you may know the Son of Man hath power or authority. That's exousia, the Greek word for authority, I say. Now, he had ability from the Holy Ghost. He had authority because he was a man in the earth, a holy, sinless man, born without sin. God become man. I love it. Good stuff. Ability is always associated with the Holy Ghost. Authority is always associated with the Son of Man. And he said that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, 11 verse, arise, take up your bed, go your way to your house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God. Hallelujah, somebody, saying, we never saw anything like this. Hallelujah. Now, when did they glorify God? When he took his bed up, didn't they? Did they glorify God when he was sick? No. But we hear that. We hear sickness glorifies God. We hear it from pulpits all around the world. But the Bible, it didn't work that way. In the Bible, people glorified God when they walked. They glorified God when their eyes popped open. They glorified God when their arms stretched out. Are you with me? That's the way I read in my Bible anyway. Because that's what God does. So if you're going to glorify God, you're going to have to glorify him for something he does. Sickness is not what he does. You wouldn't glorify God for sickness. They didn't in the Bible. Those men didn't bring that man up there and say, this man's sick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's sick. Oh, let's glorify God. Praise us. Praise him. Praise him with us that he's sick. Now, it's silly, but it's kind of what we think sometimes. Well, that sickness is going to glorify. It's for the glory. You know, they'll use that instance in the 9th chapter about being sick for the glory. But what he was saying was the end of it. The healing was for the glory, not the sickness. It was for the glory. In every case here, when people got healed, they glorified God. Glory came when miracles came. Glory came when healing came. No difference to God. No difference. In fact, you think about this. I quoted Psalms 103, verse 3. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. There's no difference for God to heal than it is to forgive. You know, I quoted James before we started this message, James 5th chapter, 14th verse, where it says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's healing and there's forgiveness all in the same verse. The 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another, pray you one for another that you may be healed. There's forgiveness and healing diseases in the same verse. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he his own self bare our sins in his own body that we might live unto righteousness, that by his stripes you were healed. So he bore our sins, there's forgiveness, and by his stripes you're healed, there's healing of diseases. Every time we receive communion, we have two elements. One is the bread, which is by his stripes you were healed. His body, which was broken for you, by his stripes you're healed, there's healing. And then there's the cup, the covenant, the blood of the covenant. This is the blood of the covenant, the New Testament. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. God not only forgives sins, but he heals diseases. And it's just as easy for him to say, be forgiven, as it is to say, be healed. And it should be the same with us. Amen. Good stuff. Hey, let me get some points to ponder. No 1, 2, 3 points, just something to think about as I was meditating. Does this help you today? Because I'm done here. I'm just wrapping it up. Make sure you have the right kind of friends. That's one thing we can learn from this. I don't know who you're hanging around with. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about who you hang around with. Okay? Because we come to church, but who do you hang around with? Do you have the kind of friends that'll get you to Jesus? You have the kind of friends that'll believe with you, pray with you, that's concerned about your soul, that you can be accountable to? I love that because there is accountability. You need good friends like that. Can't have a lot of close friends because you couldn't stand that kind of abuse. But you need some close friends. You need a couple you really do confide in that you can talk, you know, face to face with and say, hey, look, I know you need to do, you need to take care of it. I notice you're not believing, you're not, you know. Watch what you say, watch what you do, you know. You won't receive that from everybody, but you got a couple close friends, you will. You need that. No matter how hard or impossible it is, or it seems, you can get to Jesus. That's another thing you need to think about. That it often A lot of things crowd out the, you know, your miracle, but don't let it do it. Don't let time do it. Don't let your job do it. Don't let, you know, your past, your history, as it were, or whatever. Don't do it. You can get to Jesus. It's not impossible. If you have to take the roof off, you can get to him. Amen? Healing and forgiveness glorifies God. Your sickness does not do God one bit of good. Doesn't help the cause of Christ. Doesn't help you. Are you with me? It cost you. It doesn't just hurt you, it costs you. Cost you money. You know, I talk about going to the doctor. You know, thank God for doctors, but you're going to pay money if you go to the doctor. You're going to spend some money that you could have spent on the gospel. Okay, so now, by all means, go. Don't die. Go to the hospital. But now, sickness doesn't glorify God. You don't see that in the Bible. No, sir. No, they glorified God when it got healed. And sin doesn't glorify them either. And I guess lastly here, just to something I thought about as I read through here, is that we ought to quickly respond. See, this man, he told him, he said, take up your bed and walk. The man didn't say, Lord, I'd like to, but I'm not, I can't. He quickly responded to God. If that's what Jesus said, that's what I'm going to do. And he took his bed up and he walked. So we ought to learn to respond. You've heard some words today. Maybe you hadn't heard before. Maybe you've got some hope today. Stand on it. Jump on it. Grab it. Believe it. Confess it. Pray it. Quit talking negatively. Talk positively. Get your miracle. Amen. That's what they did, you know, and that's what they got. They got their miracle. And Jesus didn't love them anymore. He loves you. He didn't care about that man sick of the palsy more than he does you. He loves us all the same. I was talking to somebody, I guess it was Mo. I was texting Mo. I'd gotten a couple of shots, some steroid shots Thursday on my back, and, you know, with this thing they were saying, and of course, we'll text each other back and how we're doing. Of course, you know, I give them a little bit of report, and then we'll put a scripture or something on there, you know, something believing God and this and that. And I put it on there and said, all I know, Bartimaeus ain't blind no more. That one with the issue of blood ain't got no issue no more. And that man sick of the palsy ain't sick no more. And I ain't got no back problems no more. I'm healed in Jesus' name. No matter what the doctor says. Doctor scheduled an appointment. I said, but Jesus scheduled my healing 2,000 years ago. In the annals of time and history, I was healed 2,000 years ago because that's what Jesus did. I got a schedule. I got an appointment with the Most High. Amen. So, you know, you have to, you know, it's one thing to talk about what's going on, what you're feeling, what's being said, but you had better be believing God. You have to be believing and trusting. And that's what you see. You see this determination. Praise God. We are who God says we are. We have what God says we have. We can do what God says we can do. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Get my healing. Amen.